Okay. I'd like to call the May 6, 2010, potentially historic meeting of the HCC Bank to order. Can we please have a roll call?
Director Kraft?
Yes.
Director Davis?
Yes.
Director Halpin?
Yes.
Director Klipstein?
Here.
Director Schreier?
Here.
Director Siegel?
He's on his way. He's stuck in traffic in Chester.
Director Madden?
Here. I would just like to announce that we should acknowledge we lost two valuable members in Scott and John. Did a great job in steering this bank to where it is today, so we came to make these to the point we're at right now. Without their insight and dedication, we wouldn't be here right now. I'd like to welcome Jack to the board, who I know has the energy and drive of 10 mortals, and will be a welcome addition. Next is the Open Public Meetings Act, and sufficient notice has been provided pursuant to the Open Public Meetings Act. And that will be the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next we have the approval of the January 7th, 2010 meeting minutes. Everyone was given minutes in advance, so does anyone have a comment?
I'll move that.
Second.
Please have a roll call.
Director Kraft?
Yes.
Director Davis?
Yes.
Director Halpin?
Yes.
Director Klipstein?
Yes.
Director Schreier?
Abstain.
Director Siegel?
I probably should abstain also, since I wasn't at home.
If you've read the minutes, you can vote on the minutes.
I read the minutes.
My answer is yes.
Yes. And Director Madden?
Yes. Okay, next we are going to be going to an executive session. The purpose of the executive session is to review confidential financial documents submitted by applicants for the HDC certificates for partial consideration. This information is extremely confidential, so confidential in fact that we haven't even made any copies of it. So potential that those copies could be copied. So according to the agenda, session will start now, and we should be back in session by 1:45. If for some reason we are able to conclude sooner, we will come out of session. Maybe we can address some other minor issues. And if for some reason we are going to be later, someone will come out to apprise the public.
Take a motion.
Second.
Roll call. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yeah.
motion to go into executive session.
Make a motion for approval to come out of executive session. Here and I.
Make a motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
So, just stating, we just came out of executive session where we reviewed the confidential and financial documents submitted by the applicants for kindness development credit.
Mr. Chair, I've been asked to remind everybody to speak into the microphones because some of the audience that have been coming here are quite apologize.
We're going to change the agenda. The acting chairman's report will be deferred, and now we will go to the executive director's report.
Thank you. I'm going to use a PowerPoint to guide us through this part of the meeting, bring you up to date on matters, and then take you to the resolution that's before you today. The first slide, for the benefit of the public and for the members, just reminds everybody of the role of the Highlands Council and the role of the Bank Board. The Highlands Council establishes the TDR program and works with municipalities to establish TDR receiving zones and improve the deeds of easement. They also established the initial Highlands Development credit value, which was required in the Highlands Act, and that's currently set at $16,000 per Highlands Development credit. They further determine the HDC application for sending zone parcels and, where applicable, the hardship eligibility. They assess the program at specified intervals for improvements, and they work to pass new TDR legislation providing greater opportunities, which we'll talk about later as well today. Now, the role of the HDC Bank is to issue the HDC certificates after property owner reports the appropriate deed of easement, to serve as the administrator of the Transfer Development Right program by tracking all the Highlands Development Credit transactions. They serve as the information clearinghouse regarding the Transfer Development Rights Program, and they link potential Highlands Development Credit buyers and sellers. And finally, they may also serve as buyer and seller of the Highlands Development Credits. For the benefit of the lady in the audience, I do want to let you know that we do record these meetings, and you can actually get the recording online as well. I just want to let you know if that assists you. Just to run you through the Highlands Development Credit process timeline that was established. The timeline for Highlands Development Credit allocations and hardship determinations. Now, the allocation is when a landowner comes in seeking to know what would be the number or the range of credits available on their property if it is within the sending area. Public notice and Highlands Development Credit Estimator tool, which is a website tool which assists a landowner on residentially zoned property in knowing what the range of allocation would be for their property. The notice and that tool were both launched in November of 2009. The HDC allocation applications for first round hardship consideration were due by March 15, 2010. So that's the allocation applications. And then finally, the HDC allocations and hardship determinations would be done. Now, the timeline for the Highlands Development Credit Certificates, public notice was posted in February 2010. The Highlands Development Credit Certificate application for first round hardship consideration was due by April 15th. So that's the certificate application. May 6th, today, the Highlands Development Credit Bank Board is to rank the hardship applications according to the Highlands Development Credit Bank's established priorities. That was the resolution that we enacted in September 2009, and I'll remind you of that moment. And then letters of offers to purchase Highlands Development Credits in deed of easement if accepted and if authorized by this board. Just to remind you of the steps to an HDC, a Highlands Development Credit Bank purchase. The first is to visit the Highlands Development Credit Estimator tool on the website, which is only for residential properties. For those that are commercial, they would come, and there is advice on the website, come directly to the council. They then submit the Highlands Development Credit Allocation application, which is available online, including a copy of their deed and documentation of hardship for first round hardship consideration, March 15, 2010 deadline. The Highlands Council then determines the Highlands Development Credit allocation and whether or not the property owner satisfies the hardship criteria. There's then a Highlands Development Credit Allocation Letter, which states the number of Highlands Development Credits the property receives and whether the property owner qualified for hardship considerations. Where no allocation was awarded, the letter will explain why. The Highlands Development Credit Allocation Letter is valid for 3 years, so they can come in at any period then if they want to move forward, if there's a round. The property owner may seek reconsideration where the owner believes more Highlands Development Credits should have been awarded. Reconsideration is based on factual issues only, for example, steep slopes, zoning, whatever the pertinent information is. We also offer opportunities if the landowner did not meet the hardship criteria to submit more information if necessary. Assuming the Highlands Development Credit Allocation is final, the property owner may choose to do nothing further. The property owner may also choose to begin the Highlands Development Credit Certificate process. If so, they submit the Highlands Development Credit Certificate application to the Highlands Development Credit Bank along with a copy of their Highlands Development Credit Allocation Letter. For first round hardship consideration, there was an April 15, 2010 deadline established. The banks will first process hardship applications and rank them according to the Highlands Development Credit Bank's established priorities. Other Highlands Development Credit Certificate applications will then be processed. For priority applications, the bank will then present those prioritization list to the Bank Board of Directors for review and approval, and that is the purpose of today's meeting. Letters of offers should the Bank Board move ahead and authorize the staff to do so. Those letters of offers to purchase Highlands Development Credits would then be issued. Owners receiving those letters would have a certain period in which to accept the offers. If the offer is accepted, the property owner will then be required to submit the draft deed of easement, title, and the county search affidavit of title, letter subordination agreement, and mortgage holder, if applicable. The Highlands Development Credit Bank would then work with property owners to have the deed of easement finalized and then reported at the appropriate county clerk's office. The bank would then issue Highlands Development Credit Certificate and work with the property owner to close on the transaction. So those are the steps, just to remind you, from the beginning to the end of the process, in particular today, focusing on the first round hardship applications. So today, the purpose of the meeting is to determine whether the Highlands Development Credit Bank should authorize the Executive Director to make offers to purchase the allocated Highlands Development Credits from those property owners that qualify for the hardship consideration or those that have just missed exemption number 3 eligibility under the Highlands Act. On September 3rd of 2009, this bank adopted Resolution 2009 number 6, which established the following priorities. First priority consideration was to be given to any property that satisfied both of the following criteria. Comprised a major Highlands development that would have qualified for an exemption number 3, but for the lack of a necessary state permit that was pending at that time. That comes straight from the Highlands Act. And the other was which satisfies the extenuating financial circumstance criteria. So first priority was to be given to a landowner that satisfied both of those criteria. Second priority consideration was to any parcel of land whose own owner only satisfied the extenuating financial circumstances. And third priority consideration was to a landowner that missed that exemption criteria. For each priority level, consideration is then given for protection of land with significant ecological or agricultural importance consistent with the regional master plan. That comes into play if you have more applicants than you can satisfy. That's what you would do then, is you would look at the ecological and agricultural importance of the land. And we're going to show you that information today, because that would be the information you would use if that case existed. So just to bring you up to speed on what has happened since you gave notice and opened up the opportunity for allocations and for landowners to apply for hardship determination. 16 applications were received through April 27, 2010. One application was for property that's located in the planning area and thus was not eligible at this time, having suffered no consequences of the Highlands Act. They received a letter explaining that. Of the 15 applications for property in the preservation area, 9 of those sought to be reviewed under the hardship criteria established by the Highlands Council and the Highlands Development Bank. 4 of those applications have satisfied the hardship criteria. Some did not submit information. They were sent letters requesting information. So they may, if there is another round, come back in if they have sufficient information. One application sought review under the Highlands Act priority for just missing that exemption number 3. And that application demonstrated that it did qualify for that priority. 11 applicants received an application letter from the Highlands Council. 10 of the properties received an allocation of Highlands Development Credits. The 11th property did not receive an allocation because it was already subject to a prior deed restriction that severed any development potential. So thus they did not receive, they got the letter, they received no allocation.
So what's the nature of that change?
Sorry, Jeff, so that's a little bit.
This is the status now of the actual allocations themselves, and this is an update on the executive director's report that I sent you. A total of 286 Highlands Development Credits have been allocated. This is not the hardship, these are the full allocations, those letters that went out with allocations. A total value of $4,576,000, based upon that $16,000 initial Highlands Development Credit price, which was established by the Highlands Council. The total acreage receiving those allocations to date is 492.55 acres. Based upon the total value of Highlands Development Credits allocated to date, the average price per acre for those eligible parcels would be $9,290.43. And it's important to remember that that is not a fee simple price, it's not an outright purchase of the land, it is the development potential. So it's the development rights that are purchased, similar to the Farm Preservation Program, where the landowner continues to own the land, has the right to sell it or leave it to somebody else, but the development rights are stripped off and paid for at this case at the price of the average price of $9,290.43 an acre. A total of 127 pre-Highlands Act residential development opportunities will be reduced under these allocations, and 63,170 square feet of pre-Act non-residential development. As of April 15th of this year, 4 Highlands Development Credit Certificate applications were received from the 4 property owners that were seeking qualification for hardship consideration by the Highlands Development Credit Bank. 1 Highlands Development Credit Certificate application received from the property owner who qualified for priority consideration due to the fact that the owner had missed the exemption number 3 eligibility criteria under the Highlands Act. And to remind you what the criteria is for hardship consideration, Highlands Council reviewed those Highlands Development Credit applications where the property owner is seeking hardship consideration and made those determinations. To qualify for hardship consideration, a property owner must have demonstrated that either, 1, the owner is experiencing an extenuating financial circumstance, and that the owner's equity in the property to which those credits would be allocated is substantial in relation to the owner's net worth, or that the property would have qualified for exemption number 3 under the Highlands Act, but for not securing a needed state land use or water permit, where an application for that permit was pending before the Department of Environmental Protection as of March 29th, 2004. And here we're showing you the properties that we're looking at today. In the municipalities of Liberty, Bethlehem, Washington Township in Morris, Jefferson, and again, and Washington in Morris. The block will also set forth the acreage of it, each price. In the next column, you see the pre-Highlands lost development opportunities on each of these pieces of land. You see the map,
and that's based on the analysis you made to allocate credits.
Correct.
Right, that's where that number
is. That is correct. And that is pre-Highlands opportunities, pre-Highlands Act opportunities. So then you see the allocated Highlands development credits. What you're seeing there then is the result of looking at those lost development opportunities and taking into consideration under the Highlands Transfer Development Right Program the location and zoning factors, because obviously there is a range of values across the Highlands region. That would be the would then be accounted for in the location factor, and also then the zoning, what was the zoning in place, which would dictate the development opportunities. The total Highlands Development Credit value is then listed in response to the number of credits, and the applicable easement that would then be applied if the bank authorized letters to go forth and the landowner chose to move forward, they would apply those easements. You can see that in four cases it's non-ag, and in one case it would be ag easement.
And that's determined by?
Jeff, that is current use of the land.
Yes.
Current use of the land.
Yeah, and when we show you the slides, I think it will become clear why they aren't being non-ag or ag, but it is current use of the land. And then the next column shows whether an exemption is available and whether or not they are retiring that exemption. In the first three cases, it's not applicable because there's already development on the property. In the case of the fourth one in Jefferson Township, the exemption would be retired. In the case of the final property, Washington Morris, we show two sets of figures. So under lost development opportunities, you can see the number of 26 lost development opportunities. If the two exemptions, because there are two separate block of lots, if those two exemptions are retained, then it would be 24 lost development opportunities. You then see the allocated Highlands Development Credit again in that final case there, dependent on whether or not those two exemptions are retained. You see under the total Highlands Development Credit value two prices. Again, the first price shows if those exemptions are retired, the second price if they are retained. So that explains this chart.
Go back.
So how do you determine the difference between the allocated HTCs in the two scenarios and the exemptions?
There's a bonus provision requiring exemptions for like people to see.
Sure. Under this particular parcel, well, depending on whether property has conservation priority areas or agricultural priority areas, it may receive a bonus to encourage the property owner not to exercise the political exemption. So in this case, what you're seeing is the bonus, this property has moderate conservation priority items, second tier priority for conservation purposes. So it receives a 15% bonus on the net yield calculation. Net yield on property 26 based on their approved subdivision plan, multiplied by 0.5 yields 29.9 HTCs, which under operation amounted to 30, so that was the base allocation number, then multiplied by 0.7 irrigation factor results here and here. So that's why you're seeing that significant difference, is because we're applying the bonus should they choose not to exercise the exemption.
That was done to incentivize on that second tier or first tier priority conservation lands to incentivize the retirement of an exemption.
And question on if property is farmland assessed, the I don't understand why there's a not a. You understand what I'm saying?
The use of these, it's not a.
Why do you use the not a easement here? It's farmland access.
In this case, because those properties would have fallen, would not be. They're not existing anymore. All the farmland access is for purposes of getting a point. And again, what we will do is if authorized to go forward, working with the property on the appropriate deed of easement to be placed in the property. So, but that's based on existing use as it. They have built up management going on the property, but there's.
So you're saying there's no total waivers on the property?
You'll see that.
We'll show you that. You had a question earlier, Susan?
The nature of the deed restriction on one property that was not able
to. That property had received a highlands applicability determination to construct two homes, subdivided parcel. It was under the threshold of major highlands development. As part of the highlands applicability determination, which was issued by FDP to be able to get the authorization to go forward and build, they had placed conservation restrictions on those properties. Those conservation restrictions were very important against those subdivisions. So there is nothing to say.
I apologize to the audience for letting us know they can't hear unless we're really using the microphones. In this case, Jeff explained that the deed of easement that Susan had asked us about was part of a HAD application, a Highlands Applicability Determination application to the Department of Environmental Protection. And thus, they had been given the right to build two buildings and easement applied to the rest of the land. So there were no development rights to purchase. Now we're going to show you the block of lots in question. And again, this is to remind you that in the case of if you didn't have sufficient funding and you wanted to rank these, part of the ranking provision would allow you to look at the ecological and agricultural values on each of the land and take that into consideration. The Highlands Council were required to do conservation and agricultural priority areas. And we did it in three tiers, first tier, second tier, third tier, high, moderate, and low. We shared that information with Green Acres and with the State Agricultural Development Committee for their use in their programs. And the priority consideration was based on resource value for either the natural resources or the agricultural resources. In this case, we're looking at the block and lot question. You can see the access there. And here, see it, here it is here, and you can see these two colors. This is first tier priority, this is second tier priority. We're not showing you third tier on these slides. So you can see that parts of this parcel fall within that priority consideration. We then show you here first priority and second priority consideration for ag, obviously not applicable in terms of this particular parcel. And finally, we show it to you in connection with contiguous preserved lands, because that's a very important part, either when you're looking at the farm preservation program or the Green Acres program for consideration for purchase. So you can see here, in this color around it, other pieces of preserved land. The next parcel here is Block 9, Lot 6 of Bethlehem Township, and I believe this is the one where the ag easement would be applied, Dale. And you can see that there are tillable lands in this particular case. Looking at, here it is again, you can see that under conservation priority, it falls under that second tier. And then when you look at ag priority, again, the front part of the property falls under that first level of ag priority. So the back end, which is forested, under the conservation priority, and the front end, which is in agricultural use as a second-tier agricultural priority. Again, in the context of preserved lands around it, you can see here, this color denotes the preserved lands. Next property here, you can see, again, I think Dale, this pretty much tells you the use on properties. This is the property in Jefferson Township. Here you can see it's actually a combination of second and first tier priority. This also falls within what is the highest category for preservation, according to the Highlands Regional Master Plan. It's what we call our special environmental zone. This falls within that zone. We were required under the Highlands Act to designate a zone where the Highlands Act said no development shall occur. However, of course, there are legal issues here because there are, in the case of this property, for example, an exemption right. But I just wanted to let you know that this falls within that special environmental zone, so it's the highest level of category for conservation. No agricultural priority areas in this particular case. Here you see it in the context of preserved lands, so I think it makes its own statement. The next one, which is in Washington Township, Morris County, Lot 59, Lot 12, you can see an existing dwelling on the site. Here you see it in the context of conservation priority areas in that second tier. No ag on this particular, no ag priority on this particular property. Here you see it in the context of preserved lands. Again, very important consideration. I believe this is the final two lots. Here again, Washington Township, Morris County. You can see them. Neither of these have any development on them. And this is the property that when I spoke about, they may retain the two exemptions, or indeed they may retire them. So we've given you the information in either case. Here you see them in context of a priority consideration for conservation priority. You can see a lot of ag properties around them on these particular pieces. Again, now you see them in the context of preserved lands in proximity to them. So I think what we want to tell you is, should you go ahead and approve the resolution, these would be the next steps. Offer letters would go out if you so authorized, and the offer letters would go out to the landowners in question, and this is the information that would be included in those letters. Listing of the municipality and the block and lot, the number of Highlands development credits that would be purchased, the price per Highlands development credit to be acquired by the Highlands Development Credit Bank, a statement that the offer must be accepted and acknowledged within 30 days of the date of the offer letter. The letter will have to be signed and returned to the Highlands Development Credit Bank within the time period that's established here, a 30-day time period. There would also, and this is part of the resolution you will consider, be an offer to pay closing costs associated with Highlands Development Credit transaction up to a maximum of $2,500. All costs would be paid on a reimbursement basis upon presentation of invoices indicating closing costs incurred. And this was due to a prior conversation by the bank at an earlier meeting to consider this as part of your consideration today. Those hardships would just be for the financial cases, not for the fifth property, which was applying under just missing the exemption criteria. And so the closing costs that assist us are $2,500 only for the four that you are considering on this resolution. And finally, an explanation of the documentation necessary to complete the transaction, including the deed of easement that is required. This just to take you through what the closing process is. The documentation necessary to complete the transaction and close on the property, the appropriate deed of easement to be recorded against the property, a 60-year title search, a 20-year upper and lower court search, an affidavit of title, if applicable, the corporate resolution, if applicable, a mortgage holder's letter or subordination agreement, and finally, if applicable, an affidavit of judgment. The deeds of easement were finalized, approved by the Attorney General's office, and they have been posted on our website. If you moved on this particular resolution, it would be authorizing the executive director and your staff to issue those offer letters to purchase them. Again, they'd be accepted within 30 days of the date. The bank staff and the property owner would work to complete the necessary documentation to effectuate the transaction, including the recording of that deed and issuance of the certificates. The closing would occur at the Highlands Council office here at Chester, with the transfer of the HDC certificate and the issuance of a check. And that's the resolution that was in the packets and sent an agenda. The agenda referred to one resolution. At the request of the chair, we've split that resolution into two parts, but it's the exact same information. The first resolution you're considering is for the properties that we have just discussed and for the closing costs. The second resolution is for these next steps. So at this point, if you wish, you can consider that first resolution.
Okay, as Aline just explained, the resolution has been split into two parts. The process will be that a motion will be made to approve, modify, or deny the resolution. We will have a second to move it. After that, the public will be given an opportunity to speak. It has been the procedure of the board. It's a 3-minute time limit. We will not respond verbally to your comments. It's all spelled out in the agenda. All of your comments are taken seriously, and it will be passed on to the appropriate parties. Again, the second resolution that we will consider will be for the second round of hardship consideration, which will be the September 2nd meeting. That being said, do I have a motion to approve, deny, modify the existing resolution?
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to approve the resolution proposed.
Let's make it, again, just to make sure everyone's on the same page. This is the resolution, Highlands Development Credit Bank, authorization to acquire Highlands Development Credits on your first round of hardship consideration.
I'll second.
Okay, at that point, at this point, I would like to open it up to the public for any comments. And again, these are comments specific to this resolution. Seeing none, we have one. Sure. Please come on up.
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. In the second part, point three, where it talks about recording of the appropriate deed of easement, my question is, who is holding the easement? I mean, the easement must be held by some party other than the property owner, who will check to make sure that the easement is complied with.
Jeff, how many would you?
We'll ask Jeff to answer that.
Thank you. The easement is held by the Highlands Council.
And the Highlands Council will be monitoring the easement.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
David Choke, I have land in the preservation area. I've yet to see the easements. I understand they're on your website. The only problem is I'm not on the web, so I have no idea what the deed of easement would look like, but it would seem to me as to what you're buying here is development rights, the right to develop quite specifically a house in almost every case. Intensive monitoring of property to see whether a house is being built or not seems to me as an exercise in silliness. We all know what a house looks like. We all know that building permits are required to build a house. And what the those people who call themselves environmentalists really, really are seeking, continue to seek, is the authorization to monitor other people's property under the guise of looking for a house. I would think that you would keep it simple and just advise the building department of every town that no house can be built on this property because there's a deed of easement on it. These towns take all right now have maps that show property that is farmland preserved. This would be a simple addition to that map. Anyone could see it. No need to snoop. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Yes, I am. Basically,
can you please state your name for the record?
Sorry?
Please state your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Keith Klinger. If a property were to be have the TDR or the HDC credits purchased, what would be the regulations regarding any construction of outbuildings or farm use buildings on that property in the future? I don't have not seen anything on the website regarding further development of that property once for farm use for outbuilding construction.
Yes. Mr. Chair, we can provide Mr. Carter and Mr. Schultz with the deeds of easement that will be applied to this. So we can have a picture up for you here. We can provide those to both of you so that you can see them. Mr. Carter, you can read that and understand what will be allowed on the property, what is being created on the property. That would help. You can also, we do accept constituent calls here in the office. So if you wanted to call us, and having read them and see further clarification, we'd be very glad to respond to you. That helps. Jim, do you want to respond briefly on it to explain? If that's okay with the chair?
Sure. under the deeds of easement, essentially it's severing any development potential that remains, except to the extent that there might be an applicable Highlands Act exemption. In the case of a non-agricultural easement, so more of a conservation type deed of easement, you're basically giving up any development potential that would remain, except, as we've seen in one of the cases, if you have an applicable exemption, you have the right to retain that exemption to construct a single-family home down the road. If the easement is the agricultural easement, there is the ability to construct ag and horticultural development as allowed under the Highlands Act. So it depends on the easement that's placed.
And are there any specifics on that available anywhere on your website or over that you
you'll actually see that in the deeds of easement themselves. If you have questions, we'll have an answer.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion. Any discussion on the resolution from the board?
Just a clarification, Jeff, on that point, I'm looking at the most recent version of the non-agricultural property deed easement. So all uses of property other than agricultural use shall be allowed, et cetera. So for these properties that are farmland assessed, getting farmland assessment by virtue of their woodland management, there's no interference with selling their HDCs and recording this against their property. There's no interference in their ability to continue to qualify for farmland assessment.
There's a specific exception you see it. It's not an opportunity to use it. It's okay. Depending on the circumstances of the property, you can address it. Because woodlot management is considered an exemption, it would be able to be continued as being consistent with our business. It would not be prohibited by the DOE's management.
Any other discussion? Okay. Steve,
Director Kraft? Yes.
Yes.
Director Halpin?
Yes.
Director Klipstein?
Yes.
Director Schreier?
Yes.
Director Siegel?
No.
Director Magnino?
Yes.
Resolution passes. Okay, so now we are on to the second resolution to consider. Highlands Development Credit Bank authorization to provide notice of a second round of the initial purchase program for hardship consideration.
Mr. Chair, do you want me just to go over the dates for this one?
Sure.
The HDC allocation applications would be due to the Highlands Council if this resolution passes by July 1st of this year. The application, the HDC certificate applications, what's the procedure of allocation, you can apply for the certificate, would be due to the bank by August 8th. And then that would allow us to get the information ready for the bank to consider the second round of applications at their September 2nd meeting. Now, I just want to be clear that anybody can apply for the allocation. I know it's a second round of hardship, but then that's when we move into the hardship consideration. Just as in this case, you can receive you can request an allocation anyway, regardless of the hardship programs.
The hardship is given.
Exactly. And it's your round is for the second round of hardship.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve this resolution?
I'll move this resolution.
Second. Okay. We'll open up again for public comment. Just on this resolution. Okay, seeing none, close the public portion. Is there any discussion?
I just wanted to ask about our annual report of real estate values that's required of us, right? Is that, where are we with that?
We have not started preparing it. It's a special year with the city.
Just with respect to what's behind the decision to have another round, can you just expand on that a little bit about why we're going right into another one?
Currently, the bank has $10 million available to it, and the council of the bank has both made it clear to the staff that you want to move this program ahead, and the $10 million was given to start the program, understanding that it takes a long time to get a market-based program. So the idea was to also to flesh out what the actual, the number of actual applications and allocations, so give a better indication to both the council and the bank of the nature of the demand. So that's why, at the request of actually many members of the public as well, we made sure that this was open fully to anyone who wants to seek an allocation at this point. Because again, it's very good information on interest in the program, even if those allocations are held, because remember the letter is good for 3 years while the program becomes market based. It also gives, the belief was that the actions that this board would take today would certainly receive coverage and perhaps let people know who are out there wondering if indeed the program would continue to move, and if there was potential for them to be considered under the hardship, it would give them perhaps the incentive to come in and apply to the bank. So you get to understand if there are more people out there, and indeed what in terms of the hardship cases, and then also the demand for the program through the allocation process.
So what the next, this resolution is intended, correct me if I'm wrong, to authorize preparation for another round of purchases limited to hardship cases, correct?
The purchase is limited to hardship cases, the allocation open to anybody. And currently, remember that under the resolution you approved today, approximately 1.7 million of the 10 million could potentially, if the applicants accept the offer, be spent. That allows you a balance to consider September 2nd. After that, then it would be whatever the desires of the bank about the next steps.
But is that at the staff level, are you recommending you limit any purchases to hardships to make sure that we dealt with the hardships that are out there before the EMT becomes a combined credit for those that are not subject to hardship funding?
At this point, yes.
Okay. Just to be clear on
yes.
Why we're doing more. Okay.
Any other comments?
Director Kraft?
Yes.
Director Davis?
Yes.
Director Halpin?
Yes.
Director Klipstein?
Yes.
Director Fryer?
Yes.
Director Siegel?
Abstain.
Director Maglione?
Yes.
The final part of the second director's report, which seems to be spanning the actions, is an update on the transfer of development rights legislation. And this is a very important message, really, and it couldn't have come at a better time, quite frankly, because the bank was considering this action today to really start the program. The Highlands Council has constantly supported being able to broaden the TDR portion of the Highlands Act such that there would be greater potential to have receiving areas in the state of New Jersey. Under the Highlands Act signed 2004, the program was limited in terms of receiving areas to the seven counties of the Highlands region. The Senate and Assembly, and we've reported out on this, have both passed a bill that would amend the Highlands Act to allow for receiving areas to be statewide. And further, they made another amendment to the Act because in terms of receiving areas outside of the Highlands region itself and in those seven counties originally, a municipality that hadn't conformed to the regional master plan in the planning area or anywhere else in the seven counties had to go through a process known as plan endorsement in order to be a TDR receiving area. And the process is a difficult process and a costly one for municipalities. And working with the State Planning Commission and the Office of Smart Growth and the other state agencies, and I would acknowledge Donna Romero from the Office of Smart Growth, the Executive Director here today, that we worked together because it is in the interest of everyone to have those receiving areas and to have economic development in appropriate areas where there's infrastructure to support it. So in order to get sort of a block out of the way, we asked for an amendment to the legislation that would allow that the State Planning Commission and the Highlands Council would look at the project area for a receiving area, and if it was deemed to be appropriate as a receiving area, as a receiving zone, then it could move forward. The town would not have to go through the full plan endorsement process. So that took another obstacle out of the way of receiving areas. So as of yesterday evening, the Governor Christie, signed that legislation into law, so it has expanded the Transfer Development Rights Program for the Highlands Council and the Highlands Development Credit Bank to be potential of receiving areas statewide for the sending areas of the Highlands region, so the benefit of the protection of the water can be shared by the rest of the state if they get into this program with us. Thank you.
I guess next would be it's my report. Basically, I was going to state that the direction you were going is where do we go next? I would like to ask the staff to prepare a report or an outline that we could look at our not the next meeting, which is the September meeting, but we have a meeting December the 2nd, and I think by that time we'll know how much funding we still have remaining, and whether the third meeting, which is the December meeting, whether, again, it's just hardship considerations, or do we open up the gates to everyone at that point. And considering the discussion that we had in the executive session, we may want to consider evolving or modifying some of the procedures that we had adopted to speak for a more fluid presentation and a determination. So I would ask if we could possibly get something out in July. It's just a rough thing. I would like to get everyone's input. And this way, by the time we get to the meeting in September, there's a lot of give and take between all of the board members. So at that point, we can hopefully adopt something. So if that's that is reasonable.
By the end of July, we should have a good indication of the allocations that have come in and then the hardship requests that come in, so we'll be able to give you some substantial information to consider your next steps. So we will do that.
Okay. And that being said, once again, I would just like to extend my appreciation. I know they were missed to Scott and John. And with that, I guess we're ready to adjourn. No?
There's generally a public comment period for anything.
My mistake, my first meeting, I'm sorry. Anyone from the public who would like to speak?
Good afternoon, Monique Purcell from the Department of Agriculture. I just wanted to extend my congratulations to the bank board. Today it was a small step, but a very important one. As you know, this day has been a long time coming. It's been obviously a very complex program, very difficult to get underway, but I think it's very good to see that these applications were awarded, and we look forward to future rounds as soon as possible. So that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
David Choke. I have a farm in Lebanon Township. I brought to the Highlands Council attention some time ago, and I'll bring it to your attention for what it's worth. A few years ago in England, there was a study called the Whitehall Study, and it monitored the health effects on bureaucrats, government bureaucrats, as a good example, because they held still, and the hierarchy of how power devolved downward was well established, as it is in any bureaucracy. And you've established another humdinger here. By you, I mean the state of New Jersey in the Highlands Act. What they found is as power devolved down, it affected health of those to whom were on the bottom tier the most. Contrary to a typical assumption where those on top is theoretically subject to most stress, should have the most negative impacts on health, they found that exactly the opposite was true. And the Highlands Act has devolved power down to those landowners on the bottom the most. And as a result, I do believe that the negative effects on health should follow those findings of the Whitehall study. You may want to look at it. Another thing that concerns me is the Highlands Council and this bank share the same staff, essentially. Not only do you share the same room, you share the same staff. And now you talk about power devolving to a few people. It is occurring right here, right there. And now with this new thing that the governor just signed, now we have members of the Highlands Council staff going throughout the state, taking a look at how what a TDR receiving area is acceptable. This is crazy. They have, first of all, their qualifications are rather limited, and you should look at them. Let's see what else I have to say here. And what I can gather from the process of making offers to potential sellers of TDR credits, it's essentially a take it or leave it deal. There's no middle ground. You don't like the number, goodbye. We'll move on and perhaps get that back to you at some indeterminate date. And we'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Helen Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau. Again, like Monique, congratulations. I'm glad we finally got to this day. And we'll see what happens for the second round. Some people will have a little more faith in the process. What happened to, there were five applications that didn't qualify for hardship. Now, you said something about what they could do, and because of the air conditioning, we can't hear a thing back there. So what's going to happen with those people?
What we explained was, I believe there were 9 applications for hardship, and then we had 4 that
qualified.
That qualified, and the one non-exempt. We sent letters out because we hadn't got sufficient information for them to review them under that criteria, so they have the opportunity to send in that information.
Yeah, for the next one, they can indicate.
Yeah, absolutely. If they need to make the requirements, but they have that opportunity.
Great, thank you.
Any other comments? Before we adjourn, I just want to note for the record that all the confidential information has been collected and returned to Jeff. Any motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thanks, Ralph. That's nice.